Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective.
What we're going to talk about, it ain't over until God says it's over. Oftentimes, people are willing to throw in the towel. They're facing so many circumstances and so many things around the world. And you come to a point where you can be so depressed, so dejected, rejected, hurt, that you're so tempted to say, why am I doing this anymore? Why? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And you just come to a point where even the strongest are saying, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to give up. I've been holding, fighting, standing. And it's not making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're allowing the circumstance, you're allowing the naysayers, you're allowing those that have attacked you to get so in your mind that you're about to give up. I want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you to say, listen, it's not over. It ain't over until God says it's over. I want you to listen to this segment. Be encouraged. And we'll talk more about it here in a minute.
It's just hard to explain quite often that God has so much to say about what's going on, and there's so much so many encouraging words. You know, I got a chance to minister and just yesterday talking about it ain't over till God says it's over. And God is a God that he this is how he always works. He waits until it looks like it's over when Adam and Eve ate the apple in the garden. I mean, it's got to be over. What are you doing? I'm hiding from God right now. I have apple dripping from my face.
Stuck applesauce.
Yeah, applesauce. I got apple skin in my teeth. And it's not apple, but we're just using it as an analogy. I'm sure Apple's a good company. And and then, you know, in their digestive tract, you know, in their stomachs is laying the sin of their choices. And you hear his boom, boom, boom. I mean, this God walking through the garden, you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden Adam looks at Eve and goes, what did you do? You know, and she said, you ate it too.
Don't you love when God asks the question, where are you?
Yeah. And then so here he comes, you know, God's getting closer and closer. You know, Adam and Eve are going, it's over. We had all this beautiful house that he gave us. We had this wonderful job. We had this great nation that he gave us. We had this wonderful family, all these different things. And now we chose to do what he told us not to do, and he's getting closer. And think about it, right?
Yeah.
That's right, you know? And you think about it, he told us not to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did it, and he's getting closer. And all of a sudden, we just start looking for places, right?
That's right.
Places to hide. Ah, I got to get a second job. You know what I'm saying? If maybe I'll move out of town. Well, Google's proven don't matter where you move nowadays.
No, they'll find you.
You know, I get my car in a hurry so the cameras can't catch me too much. But I do have my phone with me so they know where my dot is. That's what I can say. I can say I was not there. Go check my dot.
Yeah.
My beacon was there. When I saw I ran. Anyway, so, which I'd love to tell that story someday. But the, I mean, you know that anxiety that they must have felt. You know, it looked like it was over. And right. You may be listening to this morning, you know, you're thinking the very same thing. And here you are, it's like, oh my goodness, I was deceived. You know, I was deceived as a father, as a mother, as a family, as a person, a believer. And I was blinded by my own lust for more and things and stuff and money and whatever it was, and I bit the forbidden fruit. I bit it. When you hang your head in shame and you're thinking, no, don't invite the minister over right now.
Yeah.
your wife says, let me just call the pastor. No.
Not today.
Not right now.
Or the husband says to the wife, let's just go to counseling. I will not. Or the children, you know. I mean, the whole thing is, you think about it. And so, but then God shows up when it looks like it's totally over. And he provides a way out. A lot of people say, you know, God threw him out of the garden. No, he didn't. He didn't throw him out of the garden. He prevented them from reaching up and eating from the tree of life and living forever in an eternal fallen state. If they would have ate from the tree of life, they would have lived forever in a fallen state. So he ushered them out. He killed an animal. There was a sacrificial animal. He used the skin of the animal to cover them. So the sacrifice of the animal, the blood covered their sin, but it didn't forgive their sin. But he made a way. I mean, he made a way. And I want to encourage you right now, because you're looking at things in society. I mean, what the enemy's trying to do continually is to get you to lock in to the lie that says it's over.
That's right.
You know, and it's not over until God says it's over. But by the way, when God says it's over, ask it's Eli. Over. You remember Eli?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eli, I'll never forget that. As a new believer, I was reading about the priest Eli, who was chosen by God. And he was, Samuel was being raised up, a prophet of God was being raised up. And this is why Eli's don't like Samuels. You know, and he's being raised up in the house of God and the temple of God, where the priests were ministering there. And he would sleep by the ark. I mean, he would sleep right there by the presence of God. I mean, he was so, you know, in tune with God. Not Eli, but Samuel did. And all of a sudden, this man who was into sin, this man who refused to do things God's way anymore, this the man that didn't deal with the priests that was going on, the things that was happening, he just let it continue to happen. That would just sent the ark out for whatever reason, sent the presence of God out for whatever reason. He still knew how to hear from the voice of God. He remembered what it was like to hear from the voice of God. And so Samuel comes to him and says, because Samuel hears his name, and he goes, what do you need? Eli, I was sleeping by God's presence. Do you need me really? You know? And he goes, well, that wasn't me, you know. And he comes back, he goes asleep again, and again he hears his name, and he goes back to Eli, and then Eli says, that's God.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that those who no longer hear from God can let you know what it was like when they did? You'd think they'd go back to, you know, I want to hear from him too. Let's just go through with God together. Right. But there's a reason why he didn't, because he said, well, go listen to him, find out what he's saying, and come back. It's a dangerous thing for English to say.
Yeah, right.
This is what you say. Let's pray fast, check ourselves, see if we're in the faith, you know, get back in God's word again, abide with him. Let's pray. And then, I mean, even Ahab knew how to do this, right?
Famous last words. My goodness.
Yeah, no, Ahab knew to fast and pray and rip his clothes. And God turned, you know, in the beginning of what Ahab's doing. Right. But Eli said, yeah, he was so familiar with God. Just find out what he wants. You know, I'm sure he wants you to tell the widow lady up the street that she needs a blessing or something like that. I don't know. And so then he goes away and hears from God. When he comes back, he says, well, be it. May God deal with you ever so severely. Don't ever say that. May God deal with you ever so severely.
No, you don't want to do that.
And for the King James, may God dealeth with you ever so severely. And he said, okay, I'll tell you. And he said, because you wouldn't deal with your sons, because you wouldn't deal with the priest, because you just took lightly the things of God. You just shunned me. You just took my business over and made it your own. Mm-hmm. And he says, the priesthood's going to be removed from ever in your life. And, you know, your whole lineage, pain, the sore will never leave your... And it's like, dude, Samuel, come on, dude. That's not... Don't you know we've been... You know, and he delivered this word. But this is the thing Eli said, though. It was pretty interesting. You know, before his sons died and before he fell and broke his neck, he said, well, God said it. Therefore it is. I mean, it was over for Eli.
Right.
But let me tell you, that's a rarity, because Eli could have before he sent somebody to hear from the voice of the Lord in his own home. He could have checked himself, but he forgot who God was, and he forgot the ways of God, you know. And so, but it's not over until God says it's over.
That's right.
Even when, you know, I'm saying this, I believe, because somebody's listening today, and you're thinking it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look back in your history, there's many times you thought it was over. You thought it was over. You thought your relationship was going to come to an end. You thought, you know, you were going to lose a child, or you thought you were going to lose your job and it would never be over. You would never get a job again, or you were going to, you know, whatever. And it just, you had the enemy just bombarded you with, it's over.
Mm.
It's over. And it's not over till God says it's over.
That's right.
It's so important. Right. It's so important. Remember, if you're God's, but if you're not God's, but you want God to be your Lord, and that's a perfect time when God's saying it's about to be over for you, that you can make Jesus your Lord. And guess what? It won't be over for you. Right. Life as you knew it may be different, but it's not going to be over for you. I mean, you think about everything. I mean, you look at Abraham and Sarah. Here they were. You know, God said, "Get thee up and go, and I'll make you a great nation." And they made mistakes, did all those kind of different things, but it just never happened, to the point where their bodies were good as dead. They couldn't have babies no more.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't have babies no more. So it looked like it was over. It looked like, I mean, he just began with Abraham. And there is no child. There's no child coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. Right. It's got to be over, right?
And no seen way in the natural that it could come.
Yeah, and he tried to make it happen, and we're still dealing with that issue today. And when he, you know, his wife said, "I got an idea. You seen, you know, our housekeeper here? Really? Hagar, right?
That's the truth."
And they believed that the housekeeper, their slave, that they would have a child if they actually had it sitting in your lap. If Hagar had Abraham's child while Hagar was sitting in the lap of Sarah having the child, then it would be Sarah's child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm sure Hagar's going, really? That was me screaming. That was me going through that. And then you take my child? That's crazy. But it looks like it's happening today, don't it?
Sarah. I think there was a little resentment back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she got so upset that she just took off. And even though it was Sarah and Abraham's mistake or sin, that she just got upset and she took off. And she was in the wilderness, and it looked like it was over for her.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was over. I mean, think about it. They used her. They abused her. They tried to take her child. They tried to promote her child. And then when the truth came, you know, they had to release and tell her, "Listen, everything I told you wasn't right, because mm-hmm. I stepped ahead of God and I have to step back." And they're thinking you can just throw away your mistakes. But God's going, no. It's not mm-hmm. over for them either, right? Because she's out there in the wilderness and she just went out to die. Matter of fact, it was Sarah's idea in the first place. Right. But then Sarah goes, "Send that woman away."
Right.
You know, it's like, "Didn't you cause this? Aren't you the one that was stirring all this problem up here? And now you're telling me..." I was like, another story. And so then she's out there in the wilderness. It looks like it's totally over, but God shows up to their mistake, to where, because they're human beings, mm-hmm. human beings were hurt in the process and were produced in the process. And he said, "Listen," he said, "I want you to go back, but I want to make your son a great nation."
Mm.
And you think, what's going on? Well, what's going on was, when Abraham and Sarah thought it was over, they turned to their own strength. And this is very important right now. During this time, we're seeing great things that looks as projecting and prognosticating that it's over. It's just not over. It's just not over. I mean, think about it. It wasn't over for them, and it's not over for you.
It's not
over till God says it's over. And you think about, I mean, every single time, I mean, you can go through the entire, but think about David and Saul. David was a chosen man by God. Saul, another chosen man by God, was trying to kill David. I mean, it's got to be over when one minister is trying to kill another, right? I mean,
oh, for sure.
And both of them are chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that is happening. You have two men who are anointed by God, and the thing that people don't understand was that Saul lost his call. but the anointing was still there until he was no longer there anymore. He was living on yesterday's groceries, you know what I'm saying? But he was. He was still anointed as king, and David understood, don't lay your hands on God's anointed. So he honored him even when he was trying to kill him. You know, you throw a sword at the dinner table, a big spear, you know, pass the ketchup and the spear, you know? I mean, it's got to be over when the king's chunking spears at you.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that he's a chosen man by God to be able to be king. You think about it. But they don't know that you've been chosen as well. And that's what embitters the present day man, is because he knows his days are numbered. Unless he repents. Because Saul could have repented.
Sure.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, admit it. You'd prefer to leave all the holiday planning and prep to your wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Dr. Greg Smalley suggests that you really ought to step up and pitch in.
And I know one of the things that Erin often says, I love it when you ask me what I can do to help, but she said it's very different though when you take initiative and you just jump in. Because in some ways, when I have to ask her constantly, what can I do to help? What do you need from me? It almost implies like, hey, this is really ultimately your responsibility. I'm just kind of here to help. You know, and it's great to have that attitude that I want to serve you, so ask each other. But also, I think for the guys, it goes a long ways when we just look around, find things to do, jump in, and get them done.
More advice from Greg Smalley on navigating the holidays today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you. To be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us, is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, but you're actually bringing light into that area. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So David's running for his life. You know, he's running for his life. It's got to be over when you're running for your life. He just tried to play his guitar. He just tried to do what he was told to do. And
killed a couple of giants, you know,
killed giants that everybody was hiding from. You know, he was sent out to get 100 Philistines foreskins, and I got like, what, 300, I believe, or something like that, or. Ask the Philistines, they know. And where he was sent out to kill thousands, and you know, he would kill 10,000s, and all of a sudden his statistics, his Facebook had more likes on it than. Is that so funny? That's true, isn't it? And so he had more likes on his Facebook than Saul had, and Saul began to get jealous because he turned on the radio. Song, and the song was, you know, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. And it's like David's going, please don't sing that.
Let's
song.
Not bring
you
not
don't
bring
you up. Don't understand who I work for. Let's just stay low. Let's stay cool. I mean, it looks like it's over, right? It's like hit the airways, like it's number one on the top 10 songs singing now, and he knows it's got to be over now because he mm-hmm. I mean he had private issues, but now he's got public issues. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he has to run for his life. He goes and makes his wife tells her, says, listen, throw some stuff in the bed and make it look like me. Mm. It'd take more stuff to throw the covers for me. That's not him. That's a broom. Anyway, so then, you know, he runs out the window and starts to run for his life. I mean, it's got to be over when you're making like a fake person under your covers and the man who was chosen by God to lead his peoples after you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I'm encouraging you right now, if you're listening to us, it ain't over until God says it's over.
That's right.
Understand that David, God was working out his will, you know, in the whole situation. You know, what men mean for evil, God means for good. So, and so here's David. He's running. I mean, he's running to a point he finally finds a cave. I mean, not a cheap hotel. At least got some air blowing over you that does smell like an ashtray. You're like, I found that why you don't get cheap hotel rooms.
Oh, my goodness.
I slept in an ashtray. You know, like, well, I didn't sleep. I stayed for about a microsecond. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Is this what an ashtray feels like? Anyway, so it's like, do you have one that just has pets in it? You know, anyway. And so he's running for his life. He gets to a cave. And it looks like it's got to be over. I mean, you're in a cave. I'm sure you didn't have cable in it or nothing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was out there. And he's just like, he's like, oh, my goodness. What do I do? Dear God. And he starts writing some psalms. You can see some psalms. The psalms like, oh, my God. The king is trying to kill me. Dear God, Selah, you know, help me. And but you are good. And you're coming, right? And so he's writing these songs. And then finally somebody shows up to help him. It's broke, busted, left-handed, disgusted, government-hating, you know, people. 300 of them, right? Something like that.
That's right.
They hate it. They hated everything. It's like, no, I don't hate the government. I don't hate what God's established. You're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some misfits. And then he's like, it's got to be over now.
Just join me.
Yeah, because David was not those people. No. David was not those people. That is not David's heart. Remember, David was for the king. David's for God. David did everything that God required of him. But now, right. Others who are doing things God required, you know, it's like, you're ruining my reputation. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to think I was doing, you know, that kind of thing. And so it looks like it's over at that point, right? I mean, it was mm-hmm. already bad enough in the cave, but now you got 300 sweaty, I'm sure they didn't have right guard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And anyway, so...
turn left.
I know. Right? Is there ventilation in this cave? And so here, it's got to be over, right? I mean, it's got to be over. It ain't over till God says it's over. And I'm talking to you this morning. Mm-hmm. Realize it's not over. The reason why you're hearing so much stuff on the news and the radio, and you need to start listening to VFN radio, and don't listen to what the world's saying, because the purpose of them being held captive and their tongues to speak into your life is to get you to convince it's over, so you'll lock your faith into it being over instead of lock your faith into the reality that God moves. When men think it's over, that's when God does his best work. That's when he brings glory to his name. I mean, think about it. I mean, he's running for his life. He's going from the cave of Adullam and all these different caves. He's running, and I mean, Saul's out looking for him. He's like, don't you have a job? Yes. What are you doing?
Yeah, right.
What are you doing dragging me down? You know, it's like, come on, I'm out here. Listen, I left. You know, don't just stay away. Mm-hmm. And he's out hunting them up. But no matter what happens, of course, you know, Saul's just bent on trying to destroy him. And God was really training David up. And you have to understand that. It's not over. God was in all that. Because God mm-hmm. sent that spirit on Saul to be able to work him up so that he will work David over. So David would not be another Saul, because Saul had no process. And David had lots and lots of process. Mm-hmm. And process is important because your gifting can take you places that your character can't keep
you.
That's
right.
And so it's got to be like it's over. It's totally over. And but it wasn't over. It was not over. You know what I'm saying? Because all of a sudden, one day, out the middle of nowhere, while Saul was out trying to deal with his flesh, Saul was out trying to deal with the Philistines. I mean, when you read about Philistines, you think about flesh. I mean, it's got to be over. He's having this huge turmoil with his flesh, and it just won't stop. And all of a sudden, he's just given over to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's given over to the Philistines, right? That's what happens. If you stay on that trail of destruction and follow the adversary's ways in darkness, there'll be a day like Samson that we won't come back from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it becomes over, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like it's over. I mean, David's like in a whole other place now. He's totally okay with it. He has no more business cards to say. I will be the number two king.
Took the website down.
He did.
Can't find himself. Not working. No Texas.
Oh my goodness!
Have y'all seen David?
Yeah, right, right. Can you imagine today he'd be Googled to death? Right. I know he was here. I mean, you know, he killed his 10,000. Got to be David out somewhere.
Took his collar off.
I mean, it's got to be over when they're trying to force you to come against God's people and you refuse to do it. And so you start foaming at the mouth and scratching on the gate, acting like you're crazy. David's sitting here going, you know, they're fixing the, it's gotta be over when you're having to act crazy, right? Just to stay alive or right. just to keep from being partnering with those who are trying to bring harm to God's people. Put it that way. And he's like foaming at the mouth, scratching the gate, acting like it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's gotta be over at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you two would have been around at that point, you know what I'm saying? His whole manager, like, that was the gate drooling incident. Do you remember that?
Could you explain that?
Anyway, so with that, you know, understand, it looked like it was over, but all of a sudden, one day, the Philistines wound Saul. His flesh wounded him to the point when he tells his own armor bearer, the people that were around him, just kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Kill me. I don't want to fall into the hands of the Philistines. You know, take me out. And, I mean, David's probably thinking it's over. I mean, it's gotta be over.
Right.
I mean, it's gotta be over. And then all of a sudden, his armor bearers go, no, I'm not going to do it. And he falls on his own sword. He does himself in.
Mm-hmm.
And the people come to David and they say, listen, we were always for you.
All right.
We always knew you heard from the Lord, right?
I got those newsletters. I read them now. I got them.
All of a sudden, you have like a lot of friending on your Facebook. Anyway, so then you know, if he only had 300 friends, I guess on his Facebook at that point. Anyway, so he was only one for. Oh, that can mean. Anyway, so it looked like it was over, and so then they come to him and they say, "Listen, will you be our king? Will you be our king?" And so they came to him. I mean, it looked like it was over, but understand this. It's not over till God says it's over.
Mm.
You will have to walk through experiences in your life. You've got to taste what it's like to feel like it's over so you can understand the only thing you've come to the end of is yourself.
That's right.
And that's okay. It's a good experience because that's when God steps in. When your back is against the Red Sea and you got Pharaoh's army coming against you and you're sandwiched between drowning and being massacred, all you can do is look up and just go, God. And that's what he wanted us to do. He always wants us to look up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when God does his best work. Listen, what they're telling us in America and what they're saying, that's all a strategy. It's all a point to see what is God's people going to do. Are they going to look up? Or are they going to try to work with Pharaoh's army? You know, are they going to turn to making bricks again and say, listen, we just got to turn to government? Or are we going to just go kill ourselves by drowning in the sea? Or are we just going to look up to God and say, God, here we are, you know, deliver us? And this is when our God delivers. He delivers at the point when you're sandwiched between inevitable destruction or massacre. I mean, that's where it is. And don't think it's over at that point, because what God did when Moses raised up his staff, as the Lord gave him a word, as he spent time with God, abiding, which we talk about all the time, God began to blow. And he blew so hard upon the Red Sea that it pushed the waters to the point that it split in two. The Red Sea split in two.
Right.
So think about it. They had the army of Pharaoh on one side going, we're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to kill you. You killed my son. You did all this stuff to my business, and my kingdom, and we're going to kill you. And all of a sudden the Red Sea parts, but he blows so hard on the Red Sea that even the ground that's under the sea, you can imagine how soft and mushy and gushy and, you know, things are in the bottom of a sea because it's been water forever, you know. And but it dried the ground out. So God's people were able to walk over on dry ground. I mean, come on. It ain't over until God says it's over. Now, listen, if you buy into what they're saying, it's over for you.
That's right.
But if you understand how God works, and as a matter of fact, so we made available to you on VFN TV, and you can get this whole revelation that it ain't over till God says it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. You can get it at VFNTV.com.
And we're just talking about how it ain't over till God says it's over. Listen, no matter what you're facing, when Adam and Eve, let me tell you something, when there was ever a thought to, when there was ever a time to think that it was over, when you hear footsteps of God coming in and starting asking you some questions that you know he already knows the answer.
Exactly.
It's time to go ruh-roh. This would be over. Eve, it was nice knowing you for these 2 days that we've been live here. It was Earth. This was all good concept. You know, great. Mm-hmm. I think he's about to start over. I think it's over for us. I think he's about to start over. Think about it.
I mean, how depressing that was.
I mean, think about it. I mean, they knew this was the beginning, right? I mean, they could have been like, you know, he is God. He is so awesome. How did we blow this? I mean, can you imagine that conversation? How did we blow this? We were the first ones.
Yeah.
We heard him talk about this vision. We heard him describe everything that's going to happen.
Think about how long they had to live with that guilt. That's back when they lived 900 years.
Oh my goodness.
Could you imagine?
No. Don't want to.
No. Don't want to go there. Thank God our lives have been shortened.
Yeah, absolutely. And that whole dialogue that went back and forth. He's coming. He knows it. He saw it. We enjoyed this awesomeness. And Adam was like, I was all alone, me and these animals. You know what I'm saying? He gave me you. Like, how did this happen to us? And that's how sometimes tragedies happen in our life. We go, how did this happen? God blessed us. God, how did this happen in our home? How did this happen in our marriage? How did this happen with our kids? How did this happen in my how did this happen? How did this happen? I feel like someone's listening today, like you fell into some sin and you're saying, how did this happen? And you're thinking it's over. God's done with me. You know, it's over. Let me tell you something. It may be over with man. That's a whole different whole ball game. But it's never, ever, ever over with God. God is the God not only of second chances, He is the God of unlimited chances if we turn our hearts to Him. Listen, the thing that you thought was going to take you out and destroy you may be the very best thing that ever could have happened in your life. Mm. Welcome that trial as a friend, because if you allow it to, if you allow it to, you can get bitter or you can get better. It's not just a difference of a couple of letters. It's a difference in your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Listen, look to Jesus. He is a way maker where there is no way. And he can rescue you no matter where you are at. And he'll turn your mess and make it your message. And he'll take your sadness and turn it to joy. He is awesome. And don't ever forget it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter
with That Waits program sliced up. Think about it. Sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because you got to have, you got to, listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things, a man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm thinking about, you know, I was reading the word the other day about faith and the paralytic. And when I think about the paralytic, you know, he was coming down off of Jesus was ministering, and there were so many people. This is in Mark chapter 1. So many people in the house, they couldn't even get into the house. And they began to break into the ceiling, the roof. And they begin to lower this man in a bed in front of Jesus. And I thought it was remarkable what Jesus said. He says, when Jesus saw their faith,
wow,
he said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven.
Beautiful.
When he saw their faith, and it's, you know, so important, because what we do, our actions prove what we believe. He saw their faith. Your faith can be seen, and your lack of faith can be seen as well, but your faith can definitely can be seen. Many believers today say that they believe, but the question is, do we really believe? What right. What type of faith do we really have? You know, to have faith is simply more than saying that we agree, right? James 2:17 says that faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by an action, is actually dead. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Dead faith. That's belief with no corresponding action. It's only a living faith that brings something to pass, that you have deeds and you have a belief. They're working together. And so it's like, I think that a great majority of people that are suffering in the body of Christ, they're not seeing things come to pass. They're not seeing things fruitful in their life, in their ministry, you know, in their home and their families, because they don't have a living faith.
Yeah, you think about it, that when you look at the letters in Revelation to the church, he says, I know your deeds. And so the thing about it is, people, we can't argue with history in advance here.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That we're going to be judged on our deeds.
That's right.
And faith without deeds is dead.
Right. It's not enough to believe, but you have to do what you believe.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
I'm just holding on. I'm just believing.
And the big question is he says faith without works or deeds is dead. And so this is the question that we have, the theological question we need to ask ourselves is, can dead faith save you?
Mm. Mm.
Is there such thing as belief without deeds? Is there such things about belief without works? And what he says, he's saying, no, there's not.
No.
He said, you just can't do this. This is James.
Yeah. In fact, James says, you know, but someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. This is 2:18. It says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.
Exactly.
By what I do.
And he's actually having that discussion between those two different theological viewpoints.
Yeah.
Because the one thing was there was people just doing the works with no faith, and there was people saying they had faith without works. And he's saying, listen, you don't understand. They coexist.
Right.
They coexist.
People that I know that got touched in the body, the woman with the issue of blood had some faith and she had some action too.
Yes. She believed and she touched.
And she touched. She was willing to press through the crowd, you know. And you have to have, it doesn't work. The paralytic, they were breaking into the ceiling. I mean, think about it. They were doing something. They just didn't say, God can touch me. They said, listen, I believe so much that God can touch me. I'm going to get in that building. Tear down the roof, do whatever you got to do, but we're going to get in.
That's a move of God, because, and you got to have the right response to a move of God, because if you don't, you're like, you're tearing my roof up.
Yeah.
Call the police. Somebody's breaking in. You know, it's like, no, that's somebody desperately desiring what you have in your life to be touched by God. And that is so good, man. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And man, it's just, oh my goodness. That's so good. Because what's going to take in this day, and that's, we just got to rise up. We got to rise up and begin to be a doer of the word and not just a mere hearer of the word. We got to do what it says.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history. Because this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or fall. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God.
Hmm.
He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them, because we have a world and definitely a nation we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order. Just talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone,
mm-hmm.
it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order. And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
Double
and I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can that be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked
them.
For years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, we're going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me yet. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh, my goodness. I think it's our Southern draw. I think it's our Southern draw. That we got to really enunciate our words. And speak more like John. Tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus.
He does really good. I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling, and then wrestling.
You're still working on Mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. He's like, I didn't know about that one.
Are you calling me heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill. Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. Jeet.
Yeah.
No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And let me tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes back, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this. Jeet. Nope. Don't do.
I
that was the final thing. And that means we're gonna have biscuits with the gravy as a Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh.
Sophisticated. Oh my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and I
doubt.
Have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been at that point in time where you needed to rest, but you didn't know it. You needed to rest, but you didn't know it. Now, everybody else knows you're at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know. You don't know yet you're at that point. If you asked other people, they would go, oh, yes, you need to rest. Oh, but you know, there comes a time when even if you're doing something good, you've got to rest. And so many people that are, being good mothers and good fathers and good employers and good ministers, you know, that you can just pour yourself out. And if you don't take care of yourself, even though it's good what you're doing, it's going to be bad and you're going to end up in a bad place. It makes me think of Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 11 through 13, when he's saying, listen, you know, God will speak to his people. And he says about a particular time of rest. He says, this is the time of a resting place. Let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose. But they wouldn't listen. How many times that happened?
A few.
But they wouldn't listen. I mean, think about it. A lot of times we think, well, why would God interrupt something good? Why would wisdom interrupt something good? And the truth is, it's because you're only human. You know, it makes me think of Roberts. Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival, that he was young in his 20s, God was using him. You know, God was just shaking all the Welsh people, and he just didn't rest. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, he just lost it. And he started, what was good turning up, you know, kind of being bad. Then finally, he was so weak that a lady came up and said, "Oh, Robert, Evan, you are tired. You just need a rest. I'll tell you what. I'll build you a little place onto my mansion, and you can come out there and you can rest. Maybe you can edit my magazine or something." And you never heard from Evan again. Mm. Should have rested. Wisdom would have told him to rest. And he says, this is the place, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. This is the place of repose, kicking back. But they wouldn't listen. So, this is what happens. Then, the word of the Lord, which means something very good, very awesome, mm-hmm. to them, not to everybody else, but to that person who wouldn't rest, will become, do this, do that. A role for this, a role for that, a little here, a little there. Think about it. The awesome thing, the very word of God that you fell in love with, that you thought, oh my goodness, it just drips with honey, and I so enjoy reading the word of God. And now, the very good word now has become a bad experience for you. Mm. Don't panic. Don't think you're wrong. Just think you need rest. You need to repose. And realize this, that there's a lot of people that if they would have just rested for a little while, they wouldn't be in jail for a long while.
Right.
They wouldn't have lost their tempers. They wouldn't have lost their cool. And so, you know, or lost, done something that, you know, you regret, because tornadoes last for 40 seconds, but sometimes it takes 40 years to recover from them. Mm-hmm. So it just becomes a little here, a little there, a little rule here, rule there, do this, do that. And so that they, the person who wouldn't rest, will go and fall. They'll fall backwards. There's a progression here. All of a sudden, when it becomes rigorous to you, what was fun and relational and just you couldn't wait to abide with God and spend time with Him, but you're only human. You've done too many things in a short period of time. You need to reboot and get with God and have a time of repose, a time of just shutting down. And they wouldn't listen, so all of a sudden they go and they fall backwards. Then they become injured. Then they get snared. And then they get captured, like Evan.
Wow.
First of all, that's why it's always good to have be close to the body of Christ. So much of the body is so isolated from itself. Even though they show up once a week, 45 minutes, to talk about God and celebrate and do some awesome things, they don't know each other. And it's like, you could be going through this time and somebody needs to look at you and go, you need rest. You need to repose. You know, we have a place, a secret place, that we allow ministers to be able to come to be able to rest and to reboot and to be re-encouraged. And the ones who don't, you eventually tell that they get bound, they fall backwards, they get injured, they get snared, and they get captured. I mean, it's just a necessary thing. And it's interesting that quite often you think, well, this is good. This is a good thing. But you're only human. And God is the only one good. So you're going to have to be in tune with God and have a peace inside of you so the goodness of God can come out of your life. It's not you doing good. In the context of that, it's God's goodness in you coming out that's empowering you to do good. And so there comes a time, and it probably quite often, what you would think in the natural, this is the worst time ever to take a sabbatical, to take rest. And the truth is, that's probably the best time that you can take it, because normally about that time, there's a lot of ensnarements going on. There's a lot of people that claim ownership of you. There's things that have snared your thought life, maybe, or your emotions, and you're on the verge of being captured, you know, and you've got to just stop. You just got to stop and let the world go on. And I tell you what, you know, when you die, it's appointed once to die and then the judgment, the world goes on. Mm-hmm. The world goes on. And sometimes that's one of the most offensive things, that when you've lost a loved one, somebody close to you, and you're mourning their loss, and you pull out of the graveyard, you're broken, and you look at the road, and it's like, they didn't even stop.
Yeah.
Life just went on. Mm. You go to a clerk and they don't even know all your tragedies and everything that just happened. Life just goes on. what happens quite often when you're when you are involved in doing good, that you'll get this complex of thinking, well, that it's actually you doing it. And if you let go of it and you stop, then it'll all fall apart. Well, it's time for you to let go of it, because if you are the one doing it, it needs to fall apart. And whatever the hay, wood, and stubble is, it'll just go away. And then when you come back from your time of your sabbatical, whatever is left, that's God. That's God. And you'll find out you'll have a lot more energy. I just want to encourage you. If what was once good in your life has become rigorous, you know, and somebody told you, hey, you need to take some time and rest, but you wouldn't listen. Now it's like do and do, rule on rule, little here, little there. And all of a sudden you may have already been snared already. You may be injured. You're offended. You're easily offended because you're so weak and you're at the verge of being captured. You need to listen to me. You need to listen to God. You need to listen to Isaiah the prophet. He says, listen, there was a time. There was a time God was speaking and saying, this is what you need to do. What happens is, it's almost like Isaiah 58. Everything just gets refreshed. All of a sudden, things get into perspective. You get ministered to. You get refreshed. And now you are a whole person again, and you're able to come back wholly, you know, to be able to do what you know that you're called to do in your life and your ministry and in your family. Is a very, very important thing to be able to do, to be able to take some time to spend with God.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.